plan for today. We're going to share two testimonies. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. CJ's going to give like a half sermon on abiding and fruits of the Spirit. We're going to expound on that. Next week, we're going to do the same thing on spiritual giftings to expand on that, since we kind of left it all last week where it was. There's so much in it. And then we're going to do what we said. We're going to open time where, as we started last week to see, I said, hey, bring something, right? So we're going to leave space for the body to bring something. Holy Spirit, I pray that the things that are of you would be spoken and uttered. The things that are not would be learned. I pray that those ABCs that we always talk about, whatever we do, all glory is to God. Be brief and be current, okay? Keep that in mind as we pray. And then we're going to finish with some worship and praising the Lord together. Sound good? Cool. Haley Duncan, can I bring you up? Lord's moving. He's starting fires, not just in this place, outside of this place. It's pretty wild. Haley Duncan's just going to share some of what the Lord's doing with her stuff.
Okay, so we've been hosting something here one Monday a month called Gospel Girls. It's for 8 to 12-year-old girls, so like that tween age. I really felt the Lord was kind of speaking into that, that generation, that age group, and particularly for girls. And so we've been seeing about 25 girls here one Monday night a month, and they are so fun, they're so wild, they all love Jesus. But this last Monday we were all here, and we were all sitting on the floor, and I just said, hey, does anyone have any cool stuff from the month? Like, what have you guys seen God do, or how's he been moving? And one girl raised her hand, and she said, I just have to say that, she doesn't go to our church, but she goes, I went to church, and for the first time ever during worship, I was able to raise my hands and worship, and I felt so free. And she shared that in front of the whole group, and she said, I never was able to do that before, and for the first time, I just felt free, and I was able to raise my hands in worship. And so we've been just really honing into like identity and who they are and who God says they are. And it's been so beautiful. We see like girls from all over the city. It's not just from this church, but almost all the girls from the church that are of that age come. So Genesis is one of them. Have you been liking Gospel Girls? Yes. What's your favorite thing about it? When you sing in worship. Yeah. So it's been good. It's been a beautiful time, and I think that the Lord is just really moving within that generation and really wants to teach these girls who they are in Jesus. So, yeah.
And by the way, this is for God's glory, okay? This is not to glorify a person or whoever's sharing the testimonies. We know that we're nothing apart from God, and it's God only flowing through us when we are surrendered to him, where he gets all glory, right? But I just want to, like, I so appreciate the Duncans and all they do. And Haley, like, I was talking to my sister yesterday, Haley, and I was like, we were talking about Gospel Girls. And I was like, it's nothing of Haley. Haley's just surrendered. But, like, It's crazy how when you surrender and you're full of the Holy Spirit, it's like the Lord will just give her these downloads, and it's like whatever she touches is just like, it just like blows up. Like, not because of her, but because the Lord just, she's willing to listen, and the Lord speaks, and then she acts, and like this fruitful kids market. Were you guys here last summer? There was no joke, probably what, 500 people, I mean, that came through this place. Like, she got this idea of doing, like, a kid's farmer's market and, like, glorifying the Lord and how to do it and praying and doing all these different things. So they set up all these, like, vendors, the kids did, outside on this lawn right here. And, like, we were just like, what is happening? Like, just this flood of people just came through here and just started, like, it was hundreds of people. It was crazy. It was wild. But because the Lord put it on her heart, the Lord anointed it, and the Lord lit it on fire. Amen. So good. Can I share a quick testimony? I shared this on Friday night. I wasn't planning on it. Thank you, CJ. But just a cool testimony from the week. And again, like, I feel like I dropped the ball in so many ways with it. So this is for the glory of the Lord. But that verse I love in Matthew 10. You guys were here on Easter. CJ closed us out and commissioned us. And he turned to Matthew 10, verse 7. And it says, proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Which, pause there. I just love that he said, hey, the kingdom of God has come. It's at hand. It is now. It is today. Yes, it's in part. We will see it in full glory on the day when everything's restored, but the kingdom of God is here. And then he says, he's commissioning the disciples. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. And CJ, I love it, CJ goes, you may say, oh, I'm not a leader or a pastor or a shepherd. And he's like, that's great. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You may work at Walmart. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. And I love CJ goes, you may be unemployed. Praise the Lord. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. That whatever we do, we should be doing, living this out. It's so simple. That wherever we are called, we're called to bring the kingdom of God to heaven coming to earth, right? So, this week, like, I do commercial real estate, and our office is not like a, it's not a retail space where people come in and go, and it's storefront. It's just like basically us, my brothers and my dad, and, you know, some unfortunate soul who walks in and is lost, okay? But on Monday, this gal walked in our door, and immediately, like, I've done enough, not a lot, well, I'm not an expert, but I've done enough deliverance to know, like, when something's on somebody, okay? And she walked in, and I just, like, immediately knew, I'm like, there's something demonic here. And she didn't do anything weird. Like, she was just asking, oh, what is this place? Which we get from time to time. People are lost. She's kind of asking, like, you know, what do you guys do? Whatever. And I was kind of just sharing with her. And she just said, okay, well, must be in the wrong spot. And I just was feeling this thing. And then I look, and she's holding this book, two books, actually. One of them says Witch Boy. And she's got all these bands on that are, like, demonic things. They're like spiritus stuff, and her earrings are kind of spiritus stuff. And she walks out, and I turn to my brothers and I go, you're gonna think I'm crazy, but I think there was witchcraft and something on her, and she came here for some reason. And at first I was like, it was the eclipse was going on, so I was like, is she actually was out because of that, come to find out later. But is she trying to put something on us? Because I'm about to roll up my holy sleeves here and do something about it. And she left, and I went and grabbed lunch, and I just started praying, and I'm like, Lord, I just feel like something's on this. And if there's something that you want me to do here, bring her back across my path. So I got my lunch, and I kind of just drove the circle around kind of where we were. Sure enough, she was there. And I stopped, and I rolled my window down, and I said, hi, how's it going? And she doesn't even say hi. You know what she says? She goes, you found me. She said, you found me. And I go, sure did. I said, can I ask you a question? I said, there's something spiritual going on here? And without skipping a beat, she goes, yep. And I go, okay. And I'm like, it's game on. All right, here we go. It's happening. And she, so we just started talking. And I said, did you go to any other businesses? Like, why'd you stop into our door? She said, no, yours was the only business I stopped into. And she said, I can't explain it. And she's trying to explain it. At first, the conversation was, she's a spiritist, okay? So, like, everything's intertwined, and there's spirit this and spirit that. And so, but the way she described it, she didn't understand what it was till later. She said, this energy, this light drew me to your office. And she said, I don't know why, but I've been dreaming about your building. And my daughter keeps, I have no reason why, she keeps asking me, when are we going to the Atrium building? That's our business. When are we going to that building? And she said, I have no reason why. So I stopped him. I said, okay. I said, well, I think it's for a reason. I think I can give you some explanation to that. And we started talking, and I just started saying, look, I feel like the Lord brought you for a reason, and I'm going to be bold and say, I feel like, do you serve other gods? Do you serve other spirits? And she said, well, yeah, yeah. And I said, I'm going to be bold again. I said, is there one that has attached itself to you that you feel like you just, it's harming and you can't get rid of? And she starts bawling. She starts crying. And she begins to say how she was a guy that she had interacted with had this spirit that was harming her. And it was harming him so much that she didn't want to see it anymore. So she said, I'm going to take this on myself. And she took the spirit on herself, and she said, I can't get rid of it. She said, the other spirits that I interact with, I feel like they come and go, but this one, it's harming me, and I can't get rid of it. Just telling you what she told me. I was not in a church. I was not in a charismatic church. We're not all goofy. I was out in the street, okay? And she's just sharing this with me. And I said, okay. I said, well, do you want it gone? She said, yeah. I said, because I serve a living God. I said, I serve Jesus, who's the only God, the one true living God. And I said, the power of his blood is greater than anything that you could have put on yourself. I said, so if you're okay with it, I'd love to pray for you. And she said, yeah, I'm okay with it. And so I start praying for her, I start prophesying over her, I start speaking things into her. The Lord's just giving me supernatural knowledge into her life. And she's standing there and she's weeping. And we begin to pray for this spirit to go. I ask the spirit's name. She gives me the name. We begin to pray against the spirit. By the way, at this point, we're in the middle of a parking lot. My brother pulls up. He's praying with us because he's like, wait, where'd you go? What's going on? We're praying. And now she's feeling, she said, it's in my back, it's in my legs, like I'm feeling it, it doesn't like this, I don't want to do this. She said, I don't want to do this, but she said, you're doing something here because it doesn't like this and I'm feeling it and it's uncomfortable. And so I began to pray. I was like, well, where is it at? I didn't lay hands on her or anything. I said, well, so we just began praying and she's getting more and more agitated. And finally I said, do you care? I said, I'm going to pray. Buckle up, y'all are going to get uncomfortable. I said, I'm going to pray in a language that you may not understand. Is that okay? And I asked permission. And I said, can I lay a hand on your head? And she said, yes. Without skipping a beat, she said, yes. And I laid my hand on her head, and I began praying in the spirit. And the moment I did, she dropped to her knees, and she began weeping. And she said, it's leaving, it's leaving, it's leaving. I can feel it leaving. And I began to just pray and intercede over her. And she said, it's leaving. It's never left before. It's leaving, it's leaving, it's leaving. And she begins to cry out and said, Jesus, you are the only God. You are the only God. You are the only God. You are the only light. You are the only light. You're the only energy. I'm sorry. She begins to repent. She said, I'm sorry for believing there was other lights. I'm sorry for believing there was other sources of energy that I could follow. And she begins to realize the light that drew her to my building was the Holy Spirit. And it is the only light. And she began crying out to Jesus and weeping and surrendering. And you know, when you walk through deliverance, it's like sometimes you got to walk people through forgiveness and this open door. She just begins doing it herself. She's like, she just starts forgiving, listing names. She's talking about portals that she's opened. Like, y'all think this stuff isn't real. It's real. She's talking about portals and all this different junk that she's opened. She said, one of these spirits said that they would give me the ability to receive all knowledge. And she said, I repent for believing that is true. Like, you can't get this. You can't make this up. Like, the doctrine was spot on. And she just begins crying out. And, like, I'll be honest with you. So we, like, ended up praying with her for a while, prayed with her at her office. And, like, the walk from, like, the parking lot to her office, she said, they're already trying to come back. I can feel it. And I took her to Matthew, and where it says that the house that gets cleaned, they want to come back tenfold, right? And I said, look, that's not unbiblical. I said, here's what's going on. And so we began to pray. And I'll be honest with you, like, after a while, she really started to just get freedom. And after a while, I just felt like two guys probably wasn't the place to be, you know, just continuing to pray for her for a while. So I gave her a Bible. And I said, here's how you combat these spirits. I gave her two names of ladies in this body. And I said, reach out to them. Because she said the spirit had cloned her phone and she had chucked her phone. I said, listen, get a phone, reach out to these ladies, and they can help you walk in freedom. I don't know that she's reached out to them yet, but you know what? I'm believing that she encountered a living God, a holy God, that the power and the glory of the Lord was resting on her that day, and that something shifted. And I'm still praying. Her name is Tabitha, which actually, it's so interesting. I then was listening to Acts 10, I believe it is, where there's a Tabitha in Acts 10, where it says she was full of good works, and she had passed away, and the disciples came and raised her back to life. And I'm just like praying that's the prophetic over her and her name, Tabitha, which is also Dorcas in the Bible, that she would be raised back to life in Jesus' name. So, we serve a living God, amen? We should start fires outside of these walls, amen? And sometimes if you're a guy like me, I don't have the boldness or the faith and I'm too dumb to actually just go do it myself, and so the Lord brings them to my door. So I pray that we would all be just asking and praying for boldness to go start fires to spread the kingdom of God, that we would heal the sick, that we would cleanse the leper, that we would raise the dead, that we would cast out demons, because we have freely received, may we freely give. Amen? Amen. So, CJ, let's do it. Fruits of the Spirit. Abiding. Let's go.
Amen. God is good. Amen. I pray that'd be encouraging when Nick shared that at House Fires. I feel like it just kind of sparked something in a lot of people. I always say this, but you know, we're all called. We're all called to the ministry. It doesn't matter if you have a microphone or not. We're called to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils. What it is it's bringing the kingdom of light. The heart of the Father is to see people free from the bondage of the enemy and the curse. Amen. So last week when we were talking, I talked a little bit about the fruits of the Spirit. Nick went into the gifts of the Spirit. We had a handful of you guys kind of shouting scriptures of that came to mind when it meant, what does it mean to bear fruit? What does it mean to establish the fruit of the Spirit? And we read through them. And there was a couple words that was thrown out. And two of them that I remember the most were abiding. And the other one was flat out just what does it mean to abide? And it means to just be obedient. And so as I was praying this morning, woke up not on my own at 5 a.m. Because of a child, but the Lord can use your children. And so I pretty much have been awake since. But I wanted to share this real quick. So as you look up the biblical word for abide, it's used 10 times in the first 10 verses of John 15, which is one of the verses that someone read last week. And to abide is to dwell, to remain, to be present, and to be held and kept. And so when we talk about, the question was, how do we produce the fruit of the Spirit? And if you guys go to Galatians, where we were, Galatians 5, if you guys want to turn there real quick. I don't want to, be led by the Spirit, but I want to kind of get to a certain point, and I feel like the Lord kind of shifted. Was it Galatians 5? Did I say that right? Galatians 5, let's do 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So we know that this, earlier in this chapter, it talks about the manifestations of the flesh. And so you have the things of the flesh waging against the things of the Spirit. Things of the flesh resemble our old nature, our selfish nature, the things of the world. And then the Spirit, of course, what the Holy Spirit is, who God is, produces the fruit in us. And so when we say, how do we produce the fruit of the Spirit? Well, one, it's by abiding. You have to understand that, one, it's by the power of God and only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. And so, but as I was praying, I had a bunch of scriptures about bearing fruit. Actually, you know what? Let's pray real quick before we do. Father God, we just thank you right now in Jesus' name. I just pray for every eye, every ear to be opened in this place to receive from you, Holy Spirit. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you teach us today. Speak through anyone who speaks today, Lord. Let it be all of you. Lord, we just thank you for your word. That's sharper than any double-edged sword that pierces down every intention of the heart, Father God. So we say, Holy Spirit, teach us right now. Lord, we ask for understanding. We ask for revelation and knowledge. We say, God, have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And so I had a handful of scriptures about bearing fruit and what it looks like. And abiding. And as I was praying this morning by my fireplace at 5 a.m., I just felt the Lord kind of shift things. And so if you guys want to turn to Colossians real quick. Now I want you to understand, as you're turning, is although God is the one who brings the increase, and that we can only ever be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe, as I read scripture, that he places responsibility in our hands as well. Okay? Now hear me out. Because I can sit right here and say, I'm just going to abide in you, Lord. And I'm just sitting here. And there may be, we don't receive these things by photosynthesis. If you guys know what that is, plants just receiving from the sun. And although positionally we are holy in his sight, even if we just sit there, but there is a requirement that involves us actually doing something and making choices. Amen? And so if you guys, your homework assignment for this week is I want you to read all of Colossians. Because Colossians is an amazing book. It literally is not only deliverance, but it explains how to walk out your freedom in Christ. And so, Colossians, if you're there, say amen. Amen. So out of these four chapters, I picked out a handful of scriptures, and I'm going to read them in the Amplified because I love how the Amplified explains it. Okay, so as you read Abiding in Action, as you read in Colossians, let's go with Colossians 1:4 real quick. Sorry, I'm trying to gather my thoughts here. Colossians 1:4, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, how you lean on him with absolute confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, and for the unselfish love which you have for all the saints of God's people. I picked out this scripture because I'm picking out scriptures that have action in them. And so it's saying that we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, how you lean on him. Okay, so we're talking about how to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And it comes by abiding. What does abiding look like? Well, it has one. It's talking about how you lean on him. You lean on him with absolute confidence in his power. It's easy for us to talk about things. I said this last week where I says, hey, just be led by the Holy Spirit. That's fantastic. But what does being led by the Holy Spirit look like? I can say, hey, all you have to do is abide in Christ. That's fantastic. But what does abiding in Christ look like? And so, one, it looks like leaning on him with absolute confidence in his power, in his wisdom, and in his goodness. Amen? As we move on to verse 10. It says, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, displaying admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity to fully please him in all things. Everyone say all things. To please him in all things, bearing fruits in every good work, and steadily. Everyone say steadily. Growing in the knowledge of God with deeper faith, clear insight, fervent love for his precepts. Amen? Colossians 1, let's jump down to 22 and 23. I just want to read a handful of scriptures because anyone believe in the power of the word in here? Amen. You know, there's many times when you just read the word, you don't necessarily need a commentary all the time. But the word itself is extremely powerful in your life. Verse 22 and 23, yet Christ has now reconciled you to God in his physical body through death in order to present you before the Father, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. 23, and he will do this if, everyone say if. He will do this if you continue in the faith, well-grounded and steadfast, and not shifting away from the confident hope that is a result of the gospel that you have heard, which is proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which gospel I, Paul, was made a minister. Okay, stop right there. So chapter 1 so far, we have words like We need to walk in a manner worthy. We need to lean on him. We need to fully please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, steadily growing. And then we have verses or words like in 22 and 23, where it says that he will do this if we continue in the faith, not shifting away from confident hope. I'll tell you a story when I was younger in middle school, and we had this class where we were growing plants. And we planted them, we got the soil, we had them in our cups, we got the light. You know, we'd come in every day and we would check on our plants. And I remember just like 6 or 7 days, I'm thinking like, man, did I do something wrong? I'm not seeing this thing sprout. And on the 8th day I come in and there's like this little leaf that had kind of popped up. And I'm super stoked at this moment. I'm like, I'm legit, like I did it, like I made this happen. And I was so excited, I was like, half of it was still kind of in the dirt. So I was like trying to dig out so I can pull that leaf up. And I remember I pulled the leaf off. And I'm like, I'm a murderer, like what did I do? Like, this is ridiculous. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And the teacher came over and he's like, oh man, you know, and I was like trying to put it back on. And he's like, it's not gonna work. But I specifically remember him telling me that when it comes to gardening, when it comes to growing things, you have to be steadfast. You have to be persistent. You have to be consistent. You have to be patient. And that word patience is probably sometimes a cuss word to some of us because we want things now, the microwave society. We walk in, we say, Lord, I want all this. I want this now. The fruit of the Spirit, I want it immediately. But it will, through abiding in Christ, it will be a daily thing between you and the Lord of learning to trust in him, learning to grow. It will require patience. It will require consistency. Everyone say consistency. It will require consistency daily of abiding and reaching towards him and desiring him and praying to him and worshiping him. Amen? All right, chapter 2 real quick. I got two verses in here. Colossians 2, let's go to 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk, there is again, action, walk in union with him, reflecting his character in the things you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin, having been deeply rooted, all right, deeply rooted in him, and now being continually, there it is again, continually built up in him and becoming increasingly more established in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing in it with gratitude. Thanks, sis. All right, so there it is. It says we walk in union with him, reflecting his character, the things you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin, and then being deeply rooted in him, and then continually built up in him. So every day, we have to be moving forward in Christ. Every day is a moment of growth. I even tell people at times, okay, maybe you just took baby steps today. Fantastic. You still went forward. Praise God. So that there has to be a consistent growth, a continually walk with him. Amen? Is this making sense, guys? All right, let's go to chapter 3 real quick. We're speeding through this. Not too fast, though. Colossians 3, let's start at verse 1 and 2. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking. Everyone say, keep seeking. Keep seeking. The things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind. Everyone say, set your mind. Set your mind. And keep focused. Everyone say, keep focused. Focus. Just making sure we're on the same page here. Keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on the things that are on the earth, which only have temporal value. Little side note, can I just encourage you guys? Is that many of our issues is because we're focused on the wrong things. Have you ever experienced someone who complains all the time? Maybe that's you, someone said, yeah. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We talked about that last week too. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you have someone who's constantly pouring out trash, it means they're probably consistently focused in receiving trash. So where your focus is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. If you want to produce the fruits, what do you have to fill yourself up with? Things of the Lord. Amen? Does this make sense? So there you see words like this again where it says keep focus habitually on the things. You got to make a habit of it. Verse 5. So put to death and deprive of power the evil longings of your earthly body with its sensual, self-centered instincts, immorality, impurity, sinful passion, evil desire, and greed, which is a kind of adultery because it replaces your devotion to God. So put to death daily and deprive. I remember, it's kind of a funny story. Before I was married, I was a roommate and lived with my best friend. And he would always come to me, and sometimes he would, like 3 a.m. in the morning, he'd like bust down my door, come in my room, and just ask me questions about the Bible. And I remember, I don't even remember this, but he told me that he came in the room, he asked a question about these temptations that he was getting, and he said, my response was, I still closed, probably sleeping, Holy Spirit was probably speaking through me. I said to him, apparently, starve it. And so, I don't remember that, but he said that that's what I was saying in my sleep, was I was telling him to starve it. And as I see words like deprive it, it's like what we live in and the culture that we surround ourselves with is what we tolerate. I always say, what we tolerate will become culture. So if you're consistently struggling with these things and you're not seeing this fruit being produced, what are you feeding? What are you depriving? Are you starving the things of the flesh by not feeding the flesh? Amen?
Amen.
Deprive of the power, the evil longings of your earthly body, that's your flesh, with its sensual, self-centered instincts. Nick and I talk about this all the time when it comes to the gospel. Gospel is not self-centered. It's Christ-centered. It's presence-driven. Amen?
Amen?
All right, verse 8. Almost done. Chapter 3 has a lot of amazing stuff. Verse 8. Here it is again. But now rid yourselves. Everyone say, rid yourselves.
Rid yourselves.
Completely of all these things. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and obscene, abusive, filthy, vulgar language from your mouth. Verse 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new spiritual self who is being continually, there it is again, continually renewed in the true knowledge and the image of him who created the new self. It's a process, guys. And as much as we always talk about having grace for other people, do you think it's about time that you actually have grace for yourself in moments? Because I don't know about you, but if someone comes up and like kicks me in the shin, I'm like, man, okay, it must have been an accident. I love you. I forgive you. But if I trip over my own feet, I'm like, man, you're an idiot, dude. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, I'm my own worst critic at times. And God spoke to me one day, and he says, I don't even talk to you like that. Why do you talk to yourself like that? And so we need to learn to have grace and mercy for ourselves, because we have to understand that we are in a process of producing fruit. And it's not just like, oh, hey, I produced that fruit of gentleness one time. That was fantastic. It's like daily producing the fruit, abiding in him, taking step by step, patience. Grace to yourself, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
If God doesn't treat you like that, why do you treat yourself like that?
Come
Don't lie to one another. Jump to verse 12. I'm getting there. I'm going to land this plane, I promise. So as God's own chosen people, that's you guys, who are holy, set apart, sanctified for his purpose, that's you guys, and well beloved by God himself, put on a heart. There's another action word. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. What are those? The fruit of the Spirit. Although God grows it, he's saying that you have a requirement to put it on. Humility, gentleness, and patience, which has the power to endure whatever injustice or unpleasantness comes with good temper. Ooh, come on. Gentleness and patience. As hard as that prayer is, we need to be praying for patience. But get ready. It has the power to endure whatever injustice or unpleasantness comes with good temper. Verse 13, bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgiving each other if one has cause or complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so should you forgive. Yes. Verse 14, beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourselves. He's painting a picture here, guys. Put on and wrap yourselves, consume yourselves in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity. For everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. Nick, what do you always say? You said outdo one another in honor. Outdo one another in honor. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you are called as members in one body of believers. And be thankful to God always. Let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and your mind, permeating every aspect of your being. Excuse me. As you teach spiritual things and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns. We do this. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Guys, real quick. Do you see what he's talking about here with the unity in people? Is that fruit is also produced in community. Fruit is also produced in the gathering. Which is why Paul was such an emphasis on do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. Do not forsake gathering together. It's extremely important. Why? It's because it's for your growth. It's for your benefit. You can't grow without community. Amen? Whatever you do, no matter what it is verse 17, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence on him, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Two more in chapter 4, okay? Are you guys kind of, is it a picture being painted here of what it means to abide in Christ? There's a lot of action and a lot of responsibility placed. The ball is in your court as well. I always say that you have a part to play in your healing. You have a part to play in your deliverance. Why? It's his power, but it's we have to say yes, and we have to follow him. We have to move our feet. We have to have action to our faith. Amen? Colossians 4:2. Be persistent. Everyone say, be persistent.
Be persistent.
And devoted. To prayer. Being alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving. There's a lot of thanksgiving in here, guys. Jump to 5 and 6. This will be the last two scriptures here. Conduct yourself with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders, non-believers. Make the most of each opportunity, treating it as something precious. Let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt, so that you'll know how to answer each one who questions you. And everybody said, amen. As I was reading this, I want you to study Colossians. You know, the Amplified obviously expands a lot of the scriptures. But for the most part, you know, if you want to read it in Amplified, I encourage you guys. But I want you to understand, and this is the thing, is that when we talk about identity in Christ, the Bible talks about holiness as in, the Bible, holiness as in positionally, that you are holy and seated above with Christ, heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus, positionally placed as holy, which means when he looks at you, he sees Jesus Christ in you. But Paul emphasizes so much on an action of behavior as a believer, is that we have to make the choices that draw ourselves towards Christ. Amen? It means we have a responsibility. And I don't believe in a non-responsible Christianity. I believe that we are responsible for our actions. And the only way that we can move, obviously, is by the power of the Holy Spirit, which if you give your life, it's in you. But we still have to make those daily choices to decide. Am I going to choose the things that pull me towards the Lord, that fill me with his things, or am I going to continue to gratify my flesh? Because I don't want to be a believer. I don't want you guys to be a believer where we gratify our flesh constantly. And then we turn to God and we cry all the time because things, we're not seeing his things manifest in our life. So we have to find where that is off. Amen? That's really all I got, bro.
Right, let's do it as a body, right? Can you imagine, by the way, like, can you imagine if, I just got this picture as he was preaching, like, man, imagine the Lord started a fire in here. Imagine if we are people who are full, he's like, he started this last week, I feel like, and he's just doing it, I think, over this next month. But a people who are rooted, grounded, full of the fruit of the Spirit, right? While at the same time, empowered, equipped, and operating in the gifts of the Spirit, right? Not lacking one or the other. Not people who have fruit but don't bear gifts, and not people who bear gifts but lack the integrity to bear fruit, but people who are so grounded in both and lit on fire in both, and they're going out and spreading fire. And when we come in here, we're being built up because we're a people who are full of the Holy Spirit in every way that he's called us to be. Amen? So we're going to keep chewing and sitting on this, but I just want to open this up. So we challenged you last week. We read through fruits of the Spirit, read through gifts of the Spirit. We didn't get through all of them. We're going to continue in them next week, but being rooted and grounded in love, the gatherings are for us to operate. So again, ABCs, I'm just going to challenge you, please. Let's do it for the honor and glory of God. This is not a time to be on a soapbox to glorify yourself. Okay, be brief, leave space for other people, don't consume the time, and then also be current. Not time to give your life story and share all the ins and outs, it's a time for a current word that the Lord is giving to the body, amen? So, body, let's be the body, let's just pray, and then Lord, open it up. So Father, thank you Lord for the power of the Holy Spirit, thank you that you are rooting us and grounding us in abiding in you, seeking you above all else. Holy Spirit, you are at the center of this gathering, and we know, because we believe Scripture, that when you are at the center of the gathering, you speak through your people. You act through your people, and you show yourself visible through your people. So, Father, right now, would you just bring and encourage and edify the body through your people in all the varying ways that every body, every part in here is a member and plays a role. And we are all uniquely gifted, rooted and grounded and abiding in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm okay with awkward. So space, who brought something? Anybody bring something after we challenged you last week? Are bold enough to say it? This could be a lot of different things. We read the list, right? Faith, miracles, healing, words of knowledge, revelation, teaching, word of instruction, a tongue and an interpretation. There's a whole list of them, and we believe in all of them, okay?